from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday. That's right.
Oh, it's Football Sunday today?
I guess.
Okay.
I guess we can consider it Football Sunday adjacent. No, it's Sports Sunday for now. Football Sunday really kicks off next week. But we did have some football yesterday, so I will give it a little bit of football. I mean, and it wasn't even in our country, the big game.
No, so. It wasn't, but it was a big game.
Joe Fisher here, Rashawn Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass on the ones and twos.
Nobody cares, but big baseball Friday for me. Nobody cares, though. But that's fine, because football is upon us. I understand.
We're getting into September, which is it's a solid sports month, but October, I think, is number... It might be number one on the calendar as far as best sports month there is. It's between October and March, I want to say. But I'm going to give the nod to October because football is happening. Yeah. You have NFL football, you're in the middle of the season. College football in the middle of the season. NBA basketball is starting up. You got World Series or postseason going on then. I'm giving the nod to October. But March is a sneaky good month as well.
Well, it depends on what your favorite team is and how deep into the playoffs they might be playing. Like, let's just say the Blazers just happen to make their way into the conference finals. That means basketball in late May. Like, that's a pretty cool late May and June. Like, that's a pretty cool month for sports. But yeah, I mean, that October with the World Series going on, like you said, the start of the NBA season, and then college and NFL in full fledged at that point. Like, it's hard to find a better sports month.
Don't
throw a good UFC fight, you know, in between, you know, the 1st and the 31st.
You can get that whenever you want, though.
But that's what I'm saying, a good one.
A good one?
There's tons of UFC fights. Like, how many, like, good ones with big names? That's what I'm talking about. Like, man, two titans going at each other, like, at that point. Like, man, October is unbeatable.
Well, I was borderline aroused yesterday at 9 a.m. Turning on YouTube TV and seeing college football on there, like seeing and two like known names, you know, like last night, I think the last game on the schedule was Delaware State at Hawaii, kicking off at 9 p.m.
Tight.
Yeah, exactly.
That's 6 p.m. Hawaii time. It's all good.
Go Rainbow Warriors, baby. Midnight Delaware time. Delaware State having to travel 6 time zones, for God's sake.
Well, at least they got there. They missed their original flight because of like a bus snafu last week. So it was like a question that they were even going to play the damn
game. If Delaware State had to take the bus to Hawaii, that'd be a long ass trip.
Absolutely. But, I'm surprised Hawaii isn't
ferry them on a bus across the Pacific.
I'm surprised they're not way better. Just
Hawaii?
Think like, you, I mean, yeah. I mean, just think you have
I'm not. You have the
privilege of playing in a beautiful place like Hawaii. Yeah. And, you know, like, sometimes when you play in a really nice city, like, it's hard for people to stay focused and they want to do other stuff.
Well, can you imagine living in Hawaii, going to college in Hawaii?
It's nothing there. It's nothing for you there.
I'm trying to play football. Anytime any sort of football thing would pop up on my schedule and I'm in Honolulu, I'd be like, but
I was actually just watching. It was like a great YouTube documentary of the tragedy of Colt Brennan, you know, quarterback from Hawaii. That was, I think, probably their best in Rainbow history as far as stats go, and got them to some of their biggest heights. But unfortunately, very tragically, dealt with a lot of issues, all because of either a car crash or basically a traumatic brain injury. Ended up changing him. He became an addict and unfortunately passed away because of it. But he, in that time there, was speaking in that documentary about just the focus that they were able to have on football because of where they lived. Essentially, there was such a chill mindset that you could just kind of hang out at the beach, go to practice, and really not have pressures to go do other stuff, because that's all there is to do. And you really could focus on football. So I'm actually with Rashad on this one. I'm a little bit surprised. I think that Nick Rolovich might have had the program rolling a little bit more, and then he took the job at Washington State, and then, you know, he would not get vaccinated, and he lost his gig there, and you know, COVID kind of killed his chances at a job. But I don't feel like since then they've had any sort of coach that could turn it around.
Yeah. Hot Hawaii football talk to start this one.
Hey, man, shout out to friend of the program, Alex Green.
I was going to say, maybe we need to call up Alex Green and be like, hey, why does Hawaii suck? Well, like, why can't you guys be good?
Well, they didn't suck when he was there.
They didn't. They were pretty good when he was there. But again, I'm always so confused. Not confused, but like, you would expect for a team to come in and be like, wow, Hawaii, so much sun and so much beautiful water.
We need to make Hawaii
cool
a blue blood. Is what needs to happen.
It should be a real bowl game, too. Like, there's a Hawaii Bowl, but that's not like a...
Well, it's because Aloha Stadium's condemned.
Yeah, no, obviously,
right now,
you know, so. But even still, like, no, did you ever just watch the Hawaii Bowl? Like,
no.
It did look pretty...
Never.
I would watch the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah.
Bahamas Bowl is my go-to ancillary bowl that nobody cares about, but I do, because the stories that come out of the Bahamas Bowl is absolutely fantastic. Like, I don't know if you've seen the Reddit posts over the years or people documenting their trips to the Bahamas Bowl. It is no holds barred. Like, you could literally walk into that stadium without a ticket. That's how lax security is.
What?
I remember the people are carrying in 24 packs, cases of beers into the stadium. The locals are just wearing any football jersey.
Like, as long as I found a jersey.
Yeah, as long as I have a football NFL college.
Yeah, Tim Couch right there.
Any sort of NFL jersey is just, or any football jersey is accepted. I think the first year they had like archery out in the concourse for like people just like as an extra activity. People were walking the track around the field.
While the game was going on?
Oh, wow. Like high-fiving security guards. A couple of the security guards just had like full-on like semi-automatic weapons because why not? It's the Bahamas, I mean, you gotta have good security, but walk right into the stadium. There's a good Reddit post that I'll have to find, because the stories from the Bahamas Bowl is always what makes that one of my favorites. Just like, of course this is going on over there.
Yeah, of all the like non-insulary bowl games, I think I'd go to the Bahamas Bowl if it's like that, and I can just bring in a case of Red Stripe or something like that. Like,
let's go.
Why not?
Oh, dude, I've always said that, and obviously it's never going to happen because of the conference tie-ins, but I was like, man, if only the Ducks could end up at the Bahamas Bowl somehow, then I would be so there.
Yeah, I think that'd be a gift and a curse.
All right, so here's, I found it. So this was from 7 years ago when they first played the first Bahamas Bowl. This person said they went to Bahamas to see Ohio play UAB. That was the matchup. go Blazers, go Bobcats or just Wildcats? What is Ohio?
I don't even know. Doesn't matter. They're the cat. Huh.
The Ohio, see, that's disrespectful.
Fighting Roethlisbergers.
I Google Ohio mascot, and they give me the Buckeye right away.
That's disrespectful.
In the state of Ohio's eyes, that's
the
only.
You gotta go U of Ohio, apparently.
Yeah, that's the only mascot that matters.
Yeah, they are the Bobcats. Rufus the Bobcat, their mascot.
Nobody cares.
Anyways, even
Google doesn't care.
This commenter, a person on Reddit, said they went there to go to the Ohio UAB Bahamas Bowl game. They brought beer right into the stadium. The locals at the gate didn't even ask to check tickets. One of them took a sip of their beer.
Hell yeah.
Walked all the way around the stadium until we reached a fenced off area. A Royal Bahamas Defense Force guard said we should check behind the fence because he didn't know what was back there. Upon walking past the fence, we ended up in the Ohio locker room. No questions asked.
What?
Hey, guys.
Yeah, people are constantly walking on the athletic track around the field and chugging beer. Security forces down there just keep laughing and high-fiving everyone. One of the soldiers keeps hugging random fans. There's a Native family in front of me literally braiding each other's hair. They told me they have no clue about how football works. They just want to have a good time. One of them offered to braid my hair. My hair is 3 inches long.
And I bet you they could do it, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Guarantee they could.
They're doing a T-shirt toss, and one of the, is it Bahamian? Is that how you say it? Bahamian families here straight up jumped three rows down onto a group of fans just to grab a shirt. They ended up getting two. A drunk fan just walked onto the sideline and high-fived a player and then high-fived a Royal Bahamian Defensive Force soldier and walking back. The soldier couldn't stop laughing. There's like 20 entrances to the stadium and only 10 of them are guarded. Literally anyone could walk in here. They have one working.
Sounds like a good time to me.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like a party. They have one working scoreboard. And instead of showing the clock, it's the ESPN feed. So you can barely see this score and clock on the bottom right corner. And whoever's in charge of the music can't decide the volume. He tried playing Believer and adjust the volume up and down around four times before giving up. There hasn't been music since. Yeah, this is the other part. There are people in all different unrelated football jerseys. I've seen DeMarcus Ware, Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, and even Cristiano Ronaldo. That one doesn't surprise me, you know. The soccer is the sport of the world.
And you hear football, and you're like, oh, why not put a soccer jersey on?
And then they get there, they're like, wait, this isn't football. What the hell is this? I had to walk 10 minutes to the complete other side of the stadium because no one knew where the nearest bathrooms were. We had tickets at will call because this guy's little brother played for Ohio, but the line was too long. So we just went up to the gate, beers in hand, along with another bag of six Bud Lights, told them we've already been in, and they just let all six of us ride in without checking anything.
Like, great.
I wonder if that will work today. Just like go walk up to Austin and say, hey, I was just in there with my girlfriend. Do you mind if I?
Yeah.
Come on, hurry up.
Honor system, yeah.
Yeah. I actually had quite the opposite experience. It was the first ever Portland Timbers game. So what, back in like 2011, 2012, when they became an MLS team. And I had never been in the tunnel trying to get to the field before. I was part of the press. I walked into the Timbers locker room not knowing it was the Timbers locker room. And I will never forget.
You blended right in, I'm sure.
Well, I asked this little short dude. He didn't look like a player, but he had a uniform on. I don't know if he was a reserve player or what, but he literally was like a foot shorter.
Kid.
No, yeah, same age, but a foot shorter than everybody else on the team. And he's like, this is our locker room. You can't come in here. And I'm like, okay, barely Portland Timbers player. I'll walk out and find another door. We need more Bahamian feel around here in the U.S.
And Jordan has been a Columbus Crew fan ever since.
Pretty effing much. To this day, I don't know who that short little man is. Seriously, he was like 5'2". And he was wearing full Portland Timbers kit. Don't know who the hell he was.
They said the entertainment on the outskirts of the stadium, right next to concessions, included archery. I saw a child as small as 4 getting help aiming an actual bow and an arrow at a target 20 feet away.
Imagine if you got shot in the arm by a 4-year-old with a bow and arrow.
Or an adult that sauced off a red stripe, you know, all night. Like.
Yay. Hooray beer, right?
Is hooray that the, beer. Yeah, yes, it is.
God, we need a drop of that. Just that guy saying hooray beer.
Can't
hooray
find beer. Red stripe anywhere. Like, I mean, if you go to like a Safeway or
oh no.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do? We can't find red stripe beer anywhere.
Hey man, red stripe beer is delicious.
I think in Portland, you could probably find a few other good choices. I bet you John's Marketplace. You could go to John's Marketplace, and you can find Red Stripe there.
And if you're making jerk chicken, you need Red Stripe.
Oh, it's just better with Red Stripe. You absolutely need Red Stripe.
That's a part of the recipe. Yeah, look it up.
Is it part of the recipe, or you just need to drink Red Stripe?
No, you don't need to drink it. You pour it on the chicken.
Play signals for OU, all wearing Hawaiian shirts on the sideline.
That's pretty.
Like, hell yeah.
It's like not even close to Hawaii. It's like, close enough.
Why not? Yeah,
we're in a tropical island location.
Water.
They played Sandstorm 3 times in a row at the beginning of the game. And I was worried.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the only song that they had until the aforementioned volume issues started. Some of the OU players on the sideline are wearing bucket hats and sunglasses, and the attendance was max 2,000.
Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome. Again, just
I think you've sold me on the Bahamas Bowl.
I go back and like read that once a year because I'm just like, dude, no way. Get me to the Bahamas Bowl ASAP.
Yeah, we need to do some live remotes. Like 1080 needs to send the whole crew down there every show if that ever happens again.
A pickup truck full of military personnel just honk their way through the concourse, splitting all the lines for food while blasting reggae rap music.
Yeah, straight up.
I'm down,
dude. Please. Now I want to leave this up to the Vancouver Ford text line. Like, what country do we need a bowl game in? Like, if we were like, you know, I know the NFL, we're going to Brazil, we go to London, we've gone to Mexico City games.
Yeah, I was going to say the NFL does Cancun or college football does Cancun.
Yeah, those are too mainstream. We need to go somewhere like an actual, like the Bahamas Bowl. We need to do something like that.
Turks and Caicos Bowl.
Why not?
I'm with it.
American Samoa Bowl. Oh, the Guam Bowl. Here we go.
Bengals Steelers in St. Lucia.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. We'd have to wake up at like, you know, four in the morning to watch the game. But
Cayman Islands welcomes the NFL.
Yeah, I like it. NFL, college football, get on it.
I do have our poll questions, NFL related. They are brought to you by Portland Meadows, because I had to take a little trip up to North Portland to drop my son off at his soccer tournament game that is going on right now. And very nostalgic driving up to that area because of the old Portland Meadows racetrack. I know that they would have the circus there sometimes. That's usually why we would go up there, is when they had the circus going on. But these are the two poll questions. We're doing a double whammy because I realized also with our whole divisional preview thing that we weren't going to preview all the divisions in time before the NFL season unless we doubled up either this Sunday or next Sunday.
Okay.
So today we are going to be doing the NFC East and the AFC North.
Oh, okay.
So same question, but for both of these divisions, which quarterback has the most to prove this season in the NFC East? Is it Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, or Jaden Daniels? Right now, leading the poll question for the NFC East, it's neck and neck. Do you want to guess who it's neck and neck in between?
I would probably say Dak and Daniel Jones definitely needs to be on that list.
That's right. Daniel Jones and Dak Prescott. Right now, Dak Prescott 45.3% and Daniel Jones 43.4%.
Can Daniel Jones prove anything? I know we're going to get into it, but like that's kind of my question is like, what can he prove? I feel like Dak actually has more to prove asking for a $60 million salary, I guess. Can Daniel throw more than 16 touchdowns?
That's what I was going to say. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe throw like 20 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, that's a step up for a $40 million quarterback.
What a concept. You know?
If you threw for 16 and ran for six, it's a pretty
Rashad,
good.
Rashad, you could do that.
Touchdown. Huh? I mean, probably not, you know, but that's a pretty good season, you know, for a mobile, quote unquote, mobile quarterback. But
And as another vote comes in, it's now dead even locked at 44.4% between those two. And then AFC North, which quarterback has the most proved this season? Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson.
Joe Burrow.
Do you want to guess who is leading in that poll question?
Probably Lamar.
You say Lamar Jackson has the most proved?
I mean, I don't think so, but
out of Lamar, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, and Russell Wilson.
Only because Lamar has a brand new shiny toy, you know, to play with. Whoa. Chill, but he has a brand new running back.
Hot.
You know, that's
pretty
freaking good, right? So I think based on that and based on how far they got last year, yeah, I think the belief is that Lamar should have enough now to get to the Super Bowl and past Patrick Mahomes.
Well, there is one quarterback running away in this poll question, and that is Deshaun Watson at 53.2%.
What?
That's crazy to me.
What do you mean he doesn't, like, why are you guys surprised by that? That guy has done absolutely nothing since going to the Cleveland Browns.
You kind of don't expect anything from him, though, right? Like, Joe Burrow really coming back from a couple of injuries, I feel like there's expectations going to a Super Bowl.
Who has the most to prove?
That is a lot to prove. Is that not?
Joe Burrow is last in this poll.
Well, that's stupid.
43.4%. Russell Wilson is second with 31.9%.
I don't think Russ has anything to prove. Russ is a Super Bowl. Russ has been to two.
He's just past his prime. What is Russell Wilson going to do at this age that he was able to do at 28, 30? Nothing.
He's got to prove that he can still do it.
That's
malarkey.
It's like mediocre and then mediocre esque with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. I don't know what to tell you beyond those two.
I don't think Russ is mediocre. I think Russ was in a crap situation in Denver.
All right. Hold on here.
Yeah, we're going way, way over here.
Well, that's where I want to go to next is the AFC North, because as we had our final preseason games this weekend, we are having some questions answered as far as starting quarterbacks go. But let's start with the AFC North and start breaking down some of these teams. Will it happen for the first time? That is where we start here. Sports Sunday, Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass. This is Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Will it happen for the first time? Will we see a Steelers team finish below 500?
My answer is no.
You say nay.
I think the Steelers are going to go
9-8.
9-8.
And just barely.
They're not
going to
be on any 8-8 BS. They're going to be on some 9-8 BS.
Those two backups are better than whoever they had under center last year. Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason. Still, I think
That's true.
It was bad.
And I will say that Russell Wilson will be the starter. Nothing has been tweeted or reported, but that's just...
I don't know that's why just, that's a question.
I was going to say, that's kind of common sense at this point.
Yeah. He's not fumbling snaps.
I don't know why that... I think it's just a matter of summer doldrums, and we're getting bored, and we need to create a quarterback controversy somewhere. Because for the most part, there wasn't really any controversies around the NFL this year. Like, some of the rookies didn't even create a controversy themselves. Like, the Bo Nix one, we were all saying, start him. Like, what are you doing? I mean, Jaden Daniels did everything that he needed to start, and I can't even tell you who the other player is that he was going up against. And again, common sense tells you number two overall pick, yeah, probably should start him. Again, we all knew Caleb Williams would be the number one pick. So outside of the Pittsburgh quarterback room, who else is having a quarterback controversy? But again, it wasn't a controversy to begin with.
Potentially, I would say, I guess, potentially Atlanta. Just because you just gave,
well, Kirk's gonna start.
Yeah, Kirk's gonna start, but I mean, you've got Penix, at the number two spot right now.
Yeah,
but,
we're already seeing the reports that Penix is gonna be the guy in waiting. The media wants there to be a controversy.
No S. I'd be pissed if I were Penix. I mean, I know this is the NFC North, but man, I'd be pissed if it's if you think you're NFL ready and then you immediately get drafted by a team that it's oh yeah, you're going to have to wait 3 years. But
I don't think it's going to be 3 years. But that's story for, when we talk NFC South, which I think you guys have done already.
No, I think that will be the last division. We'll finish up with the NFC South next week. As the AFC North goes, I think this will be the first season that the Steelers finish under 500. I think it has to happen at some point. And while Jordan makes a good point that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, whoever ends up playing the most, because, we could get halfway into the season and Russell is S in the bed and Fields ends up coming in, or because of injury, whatever the case is, I think that offense is still going to be putrid and very tough to watch. And I think that the Bengals, obviously better as long as Joe Burrow stays healthy. They're going to return to form. The Ravens are the Ravens. They only got better. Their defense is amazing. And then the Browns were a good team last year. It's just that they had to play five different quarterbacks throughout the season. I literally think Joe Flacco was the fifth quarterback they had played that season for them. Because they had Deshaun Watson. They had Dorian Thompson-Robinson playing at one point. I'm forgetting two of the others. And then they finally signed Joe Flacco, and he ended up playing for them. But I would say that this is the first year that the Steelers end up falling short of that 500 record. I'm thinking, 8, 9, 7, and 10 seems about right for the Steelers.
I don't see we've seen these Steeler teams not have all of the bells and whistles that they're used to having, but still for whatever reason they finish 8-8 or they finish 9-7 or something like that before we went to the 17 game season. So I don't know. I think in this case you've had an upgrade in both quarter. Either your starter and your backups is both an upgrade. They let go of Kenny Pickett or traded him last year. They let go of who's the other one that was terrible? Mitchell Trubisky. They let go of all the quarterbacks, Mason Rudolph, all those guys that just weren't worth much at the quarterback position, and you bought in a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Russell Wilson, and then you bought in a guy who could still be very good in this league. We don't know all the way, just because he played for Chicago for years. Chicago was inept. They couldn't figure out which way was up a lot of ways, and all the blame went to the quarterback. And so I think you've got an upgrade at both positions. So if something does happen to Russ and he goes down, man, you've got somebody you can plug in and make sure he can kind of follow Tomlin's offense at least a little bit. So as long as TJ Watt can stay healthy, Minka Fitzpatrick can stay healthy, as long as that can happen, your defense can still be shored up. I don't see anything less than 9 wins for them. Honestly, I think they'd be incredibly disappointed with anything less than 9. I don't think anybody thinks they're going to the Super Bowl or to the playoffs or anything like that. However, One thing Mike Tomlin showed you is that he's not going to finish under 500, regardless of who's playing quarterback.
Yeah, it was also Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley was playing some Ravens football last year when Lamar Jackson missed a few games. That might be another reason why that the Steelers were able to get a couple wins in the division last year, is because the Browns had a rotating quarterback situation. Jake Browning ended up having to play for the Bengals for a good chunk of the season. Then, yeah, the Ravens, they also had Lamar injured for a little bit and Tyler Huntley playing out there. I don't know. I just, like, I feel like we've done this for a few years now where it's like, yeah, this will be the year. But I truly feel like this will be the year that it comes to a head. Injuries are the biggest factor here. I mean, if Lamar Jackson can stay upright for the whole season, if Joe Burrow can stay upright for the whole season, again, as we mentioned in the first segment, like Deshaun Watson, are you even going to be a serviceable quarterback for the Browns this year at all? I mean, if you are not injured, because even in those first, what was it, 6-7 games when he came back from his suspension a couple of years ago, it was like their offense was still putrid. And he left still a lot to be desired when he came when he started the year last year. So that division, one, just needs their quarterbacks to stay healthy to make it entertaining. Because if it is, if you know, you get solid quarterback play between those three teams, the Ravens, Steelers, and Browns, I mean, and then obviously the Steelers are the Steelers. They're going to have a good defense. They're going to be tough. That could be one of the toughest divisions in football. As far as best, I mean, I guess you can make that case, but as far as just like toughest, every game is a battle. I feel like AFC North has been that way for a few years now. Where
it's a dogfight.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Steelers and Ravens have been doing it for decade and a half now. But with Burrow and the Bengals being as good as they are, and then the Browns just improving the last few years as well. Yeah, it's just a gauntlet in that division.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Browns. They had a really good season last year. I mean, all things considered.
Well, again, like, with, yeah, like yeah, eight quarterbacks,
yeah. But still, even with a rotating group of quarterbacks, they still were able to win 11 games, you know, even with all the questions surrounding Deshaun Watson, with the defense still just being buoyed by Myles Garrett. Like, there's still a lot of things to like about this Cleveland team, but I think we're just so used to watching Cleveland wet the bed to where it's like, I'm not really putting too much stock into them. But they did pick up Jerry Jeudy, and I don't know if you're one of the guys that's kind of on the Steve Smith way of thinking that, man, you're a jag, you're just a guy, you know?
Well, Jerry Jeudy, he didn't have a single 1,000-yard receiving when he was at Denver.
And they'll easily blame that on the quarterback.
I was going to say, granted, they didn't have a quarterback really to be throwing as well as they needed to get him 1,000 yards. So, yeah, I mean, Jerry is still out on him.
I like it. Very good.
Like that joke.
Good job. So, no, I think there are some things to... Nobody's expecting much from Cleveland, I don't think, though. I mean, even though I've seen a lot of predictions that have them going 9-8, you know, potentially 10-7 or something like that. But still, that's not one of the teams anybody's really talking about, which could be really good for the Browns because nobody's going to see him coming. You know, if Deshaun Watson can play anything like he played his last season as a Texan, then I think you got a real shot of making some noise, potentially getting to that wild card spot in the playoffs. But yeah, I think there's a lot of question marks around this Cleveland team there's a lot of question marks around everybody in the AFC North just because we're not sure what these teams look like with a quarterback being healthy all season.
Yeah, again, because we missed a bit of that last year. Let's continue the AFC North conversation because, again, the poll questions on 1080 The Fan's Twitter page are which quarterback has the most to prove this season. Right now, Deshaun Watson running away with that poll question, 54.7%. But I want to talk about him and Lamar because I feel like, and even Burrow in a sense, even though he's the last in this poll question, is like what that pressure and what they have to prove looks like. Because I feel like for Lamar, who's gotten a little bit of the vote, and Deshaun, it's two different things as far as what they need to prove. We get to that next year. AFC North preview continues on. But first, Jordan Schultz with the SportsCenter update. So the poll question has to do with the quarterbacks who has the most to prove this season, and Deshaun Watson running away with it for the AFC North. But again, there's some quarterbacks in this division that, like, what they exactly have to prove varies. Deshaun Watson has to prove that he can play a full season and provide potent offense for the Browns. I mean, will they have some scoring drives? Will they do some things? Yes. But doing what he did in Houston to an extent.
We'll definitely get
on the field.
Suspended. Oh, okay.
On the field. Let's make that clear. And trying to take away from like all that, like you would hope as a football player and a competitive mindset that he is even like, dude, I need to show out this year. Like I need to prove some people wrong again, just from a pure football standpoint, like, cause you're a joke at this point. You are the butt of many jokes.
Yeah.
So you need to go out and shush some of those haters that are questioning your insane contract that you got and so far through 2 years have not lived up to. And that's what it is. It's more so like regular season. What can you do for us? For Lamar, the pressure is different. What he has to prove is get to a Super Bowl. You know, two-time MVP, what he can do in the regular season. He's almost like an AFC Dak, right? Like, we've seen what you can do in the regular season. You put up good numbers, MVP-like numbers. But when you get to the playoffs, I mean, they have what? They have a win against the Titans a couple years ago. They have the win against the Texans last year in the playoffs. But when you go up against a Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, if you end up having to go up against a Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, if you have to go up against a Joe Burrow and the Bengals, like, are you going to be able to defeat them? And can you finally get yourself to a Super Bowl? I would love for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson to get to the Super Bowl. I wanted them to beat the Chiefs last year in that AFC Championship game. Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people wanted that. So I would finally like to see it come to fruition for him. But that is what he has to prove, is the playoff aspect, whereas Deshaun Watson is the regular season aspect.
Deshaun Watson has to rinse everybody's mouth clean of the terrible taste that he left as far as the whole massage thing, the creepy side. You know, I feel like if you go out there and win, people don't forget, but at least you'll have people cheering for you and talking about you for the right reason.
Well, Cleveland also, that fan base is complete, like, degeneracy. Like they as long as they win, they don't care.
They are. Pittsburgh was the same, right? Ben Roethlisberger was doing some really creepy stuff, but he won, so everybody just kind of forgives and forgets type stuff. Yes, the people will still drop some jokes and everything, but for the most part, you're viewed as a winner now, so you know you don't get as many jokes. That's the one thing Deshaun Watson is going to have to do, is come out there and play inspired football. Like, if he comes out there and he puts himself on an MVP, in the MVP conversation, I think people will start talking more about his football acumen other than the weirdness, creepiness, the contract that you got that we all kind of scoffed at. Like,
literally,
why the hell?
The most guaranteed money a quarterback has ever gotten.
Which was crazy. And then think about it was the Browns that did it, so you're like, oh, okay. Like, that kind of makes sense. With Lamar, I honestly think it's more than just winning the Super Bowl at this point, but he's got to beat Patrick Mahomes. Like, there's no other comparison for him. This is the Drexler-Jordan thing.
This is like him and Josh Allen both, right? Yeah. Like, Burrow's done it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you look at some of the other guys, it's like, well, he's done it, so now you got to do it. It's
Drexler-Jordan-Barkley. Like, I mean, they're all cold, they're all bald, they all got this incredible skill set, but for whatever reason, they just couldn't beat Mike. And that's what kind of loomed over them more than anything, you know, and I think that's what's happening, starting to happen for Lamar Jackson. Like, you've got an MVP, check. So we know that you got two of them now. Now you've got not even arguably the best running back in the league on your team, which should kind of take some pressure off. Like, that play action should be murderous for this Ravens team. But they had the lead going into halftime for the AFC Championship, and then they tricked it off. And they lost. And so he's got to really show that, man, he can get over this hump that is Patrick Mahomes. If he does get to the Super Bowl, I think they can win. I think this Ravens team is good enough, but they can't get past this Golden State wall that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have put up.
Can I ask a question, though? Like, because of that, are we going to continue to devalue really good quarterbacks like a Josh Allen, like a Lamar Jackson that just continually come up against the GOAT? I mean, we had so many guys try to challenge Tom Brady unsuccessfully during his basically 15-year run. So what about Patrick Mahomes being so good makes them less talented. And I wonder, like, okay, so, like, yes, they have something to prove, and the Deshaun Watson thing to prove is much different than a Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson action to prove. So who are we placing more value on? And is Patrick Mahomes being so good just making it worse for Lamar Jackson in, like, a daily conversation between football fans?
It's a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady situation. Like, throwing the ball, I don't think anybody will tell you that Tom was better than Peyton, right? Like, Peyton Manning was hit every blade of grass type accurate, you know, when he was out there. But he just, in those AFC championships and those, you know, divisional games, he just couldn't get past Tom until he did. And it was like, okay, you could. Same thing with the Ravens, you know, for a long time, just not being able to get past Tom Brady until they did. And it's like, you know, so you just have to be able to do it once. If he can do it once, I think people will kind of forget the fact that, okay, well, at least he's played in a Super Bowl. At least he's won a Super Bowl. But not beating, I think that probably digs deep at Lamar soul, because as great as you are, as talented as you are, and trust me, we play Madden, there's probably two people that we playing with, that we're really playing with, and it's Lamar Jackson and it's Patrick Mahomes. And as good as Lamar is, he's not as good as Mahomes. And I think that has to sting so much.
Well, and I don't even think it's so much like devaluing the talent or the skill of these guys. I mean, again, Lamar, we've seen it now through his first time starting through last season. I mean, MVP twice. It's just, we definitely put a little bit more weight into guys' career and skill set if they can get it done in the playoffs and lead their team to a Super Bowl. And, I mean, we have never seen a three-peat in NFL.
No.
So if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs do that this year, first time ever, it's something that, like, yeah, they are the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year, but if you're letting me take the Chiefs of the field this year, like, I'm going to take the field just because I have never seen, no one has ever seen a three-peat champion in the NFL. And again, like, the Chiefs are not going to win the Super Bowl every year for the rest of Patrick Mahomes' career. So something's got to give. Who is going to be that quarterback to end up winning that Super Bowl, whether it's the AFC side, whether it's the NFC side? You know, since Mahomes has gone to the league, we've seen Matt Stafford finally get over that hump with the LA Rams. I'm trying to think, I mean, now granted, the other quarterback to win the Super Bowl when Mahomes entered the league was Tom Brady. So
yeah,
that is a little bit different there. But again, from now to the end of Mahomes' career, there will be other teams that win the Super Bowl besides the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And when you have quarterbacks as good as Lamar Jackson, teams as good as the Ravens, organizations as good as the Ravens, coaching as good as John Harbaugh, that is what is next for them. Is that's the next step in their in his career story, is getting to a Super Bowl. Hell, just getting to a Super Bowl at this point will help him out. But I would just, again, I'm a huge Lamar Jackson fan. I want to see him pull it off. And that's the pressure that he's facing. Joe Burrow, to me, as far as what he has to prove, it's just staying healthy. Like, you just need to stay consistently healthy for consecutive seasons at this point.
That's an offensive line issue.
And, I mean, that was the problem the first year that
he
had.
When they got to the Super Bowl, that was the huge knock on them, is their offensive line can't stop anybody.
Yep. So for him, it's just staying upright and staying healthy for a sustained amount of time. That will be one of those that I pray we don't look back and we look at Joe Burrow in 10 years and we're like, man, if he just would have been a little bit more healthy, because that's he's a couple more seasons of missing 6, 7, 8 games a season of having that narrative too. Like, man, he could have been one of the all-time greats if he just could have stayed upright.
Joe Burrow has lost his damn mind. He's been hit too many times. He's dyeing his hair like Slim Shady. Like, Joe Burrow's losing it a little bit.
And then the Steelers quarterback situation, where it's like, you know, Russell Wilson, I hear what you guys are saying, is that he doesn't really have to prove anything. He's kind of cemented his legacy with the Seahawks. I think the Broncos situation was just tough because Sean Payton is a very different type of head coach and offensive coach. Him and Russell, I think, just did not like each other.
Who was the coach before that? Which is BS to me, because The one thing Sean Payton said in that whole thing was, I don't want him out there kissing babies and everything else. Like, and you coach Drew Brees, and who kissed more babies than Drew Brees in New Orleans? No one. Like, so he was the poster child of the good guy. And so now all of a sudden you got a real good guy in Russell Wilson, and you're like, eh, no, I don't like what you're doing. Like, so that was the whole thing. Who was the coach before that? He was so forgettable.
Nathaniel Hackett. Thank you. For a year. And then Vic Fangio before that, I believe.
But I want to say that Russell's first year, he never had Vic Fangio.
No. It was Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
He's a great family man, though, right? So that means he's going to be a good NFL coach. Ridiculous.
Yeah. The one question, though, concerning the Steelers, the biggest concern there is, it's not head coach Mike Tomlin. I don't even think it's quarterback Russell Wilson. It's the guy calling the play as an offense, Arthur Smith, because we saw what the Falcons look like him as a head coach. Now, granted, when it comes to coordinators, some dudes are just better coordinators and should have never been a head coach. And when you can just worry about what you know and calling plays and putting your players in the right position on the side of the field that you know best, not having to worry about clock management, timeout management, everything that comes with being a head coach, you know, the depth chart on both sides of the ball.
I'd just rather be a coordinator.
Well, he also had, he put all his chips into Desmond Ridder. That was a major fail. Like, you don't really, as the offensive coordinator, you don't really choose your quarterback as the head coach. You do. And he chose the wrong guy.
Well, and we'll get into the NFC South next week. I mean, like, that's that is going to be a huge look at the Falcons as far as quarterback and their head coach, offensive coordinator, as far as, like, what they're going to be able to do. Because when you have Drake London, Kyle Pitts, I feel like I'm forgetting someone on the wide receiver core. But when you have the talent, the weapons that they do, then that's where people are going to look at Arthur Smith and the Falcons and his tenure versus this next year is like, all right, dude, like, you really dropped the ball over there.
Yeah.
Continue on with this AFC North preview, because I want to look at win totals. I want to look at the odds and kind of give some final predictions on who we think is going to win this division in 2024. We get to that next year. Sports Sunday right here. 10 of the Fan. All right. We got some text on the Vancouver Ford text line. From our guy Deal. Watson and Dak have nothing to prove. They are who we thought they were. Lamar, Hurts, and Burrow have the most to prove. They are Super Bowl winning caliber quarterbacks.
That's kind of where I was coming from. Burrow getting back to that level from injury as opposed to what? Deshaun Watson being a decent to great quarterback? I don't know. The stakes are higher, in my opinion, for a guy like Burrow.
I don't know. I think when you say what's, you know, who's expected to have, you know, the most pressure, again, that huge contract that Deshaun Watson signed instantly, like, I don't know, for whatever reason, people love checking people's pockets. And because he got that money, there are people that are looking like, what the hell, man? We're going to need some results with this, because you can't even trade that contract right now. Nobody, who wants it? Like, for all that money, like, you'd be fleecing your franchise at that point. So it's like, man, you kind of have to have this faith that Deshaun Watson is going to do something great. And I think that's where the expectation is the money. Like, if he had signed a 3-year deal for $30 million, nobody would care, right? We'd be like, oh man, okay. They got Deshaun Watson. They got him pretty cheap. And that would be the end of that. But considering he got, was it a $90 million guaranteed? How much was a guarantee?
Who, Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Bro, he got like 200
yeah,
million.
It was something. Yeah. Sworn,
no, like, the guarantee was like 100 mil.
When you get 100 million guaranteed, it's like,
I'm telling you,
that
it
expectation
was
is through the roof.
Fully guaranteed 5-year $230 million contract. That's what I'm saying. It was
most guaranteed money in history.
$200 million at least.
How can you not expect that?
How did his agents get? I mean, the Browns, just by signing him to that deal, are the stupidest franchise in NFL history, right? They've been trying to get to the playoffs for 2 decades. They drafted one of the worst overall busts at quarterback at number one in NFL history. This is just futility after stupid move. This has to be the worst deal ever handed out.
I mean, if you're Sean Watson, it's not.
It's hard to disagree with it. I mean, like, at the time of the signing, that's how people felt. And how it's played out, it's how people are feeling. And again, I would say that's why he is leading that poll question of who has the most to prove this season, because you haven't proved that you were worth that money at all.
But we knew that. I think we knew that he wasn't. We all thought that's kind of the point here, is that Cleveland was stupid to hand him that in the first place, right?
To give him a 5-year, like $230 million contract would be understandable. To guarantee all of it,
that's the part that's
ridiculous, because we saw what he did in Houston, again, on the field. And I mean, even during their, 4-12 season, people were like, this guy needs better help. He has potential MVP qualities to him. People were on the Deshaun Watson train. Like, it was fully loaded. You could not get a ticket for that thing because the train was fully booked. And now, literally ever since his off-the-field massage disgusting stuff that he did, his career on and off the field has just been plummeting. So that's where it's like, dude, how about you go back to what you were doing back in Houston as a football player? Because you have not shown that at all with Cleveland. We've seen, this is what people almost say about like Russell Wilson with his, it's like, he didn't just forget how to play good football. So what the hell is going on? Whose fault is this really? And that's with Russell Wilson, where I think that he might have something to prove this year. It's like, all right, the Denver stuff will give you somewhat of a pass because you had Nathaniel Hackett and then you had Sean Payton last year, which, most people, I mean, depending on who you ask, it's like, who are you going to give the, the pass to on that? Sean Payton or Russell Wilson? I think most people will give the pass to Sean Payton because of what he's done as an offensive coordinator, NFL head coach, and his overall mind as an offensive coach in this league. But again, there was definitely some friction and tension in that relationship. And Russell Wilson, while it wasn't his best year last year, it wasn't a terrible year by any means.
Russell, I mean, outside of the first year in Denver, remember his last year in Seattle was pretty good. Didn't he take him to the playoffs that last year? And then all of a sudden, you know, just kind of, you know, Seattle wants to go a different direction. And they want to, you know, they want to try this Geno Smith, you know, experiment out and everything, which so far has worked out pretty okay for Seattle, you know, but still, like, he hasn't been a bad quarterback, and Russell, he's actually gotten much better since the Super Bowl win.
Russell Wilson last year, he only threw for just over 3,000 yards last year, which was his career low, but he had a 26-8 touchdown interception ratio.
And a lot of that came in some decent performances later in the season, so, and until he, of course, got benched, right?
That last season in Seattle, 25-6, just over 3,000 yards again, 31,000. So I think people want to see him get back to that, you know, let Russell Cook throw at 4,000 yards, 30-plus touchdowns next year.
We also got to remember that Russ can use his legs. So while he only threw 3,000 yards, like, I don't know how many he had rushing, you know, on the ground, but, you know, that's he's older now, so don't expect him to rush the way he did back in 2014. However, he can still move.
341 yards rushing last year. You know, it varies year to year. I mean, his last year in Seattle, he only rushed for 183. I mean, we got to keep in mind, too, that the dude is 36.
Yeah.
Turns 36 this November, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, how many years of very athletic Russell Wilson he's able to escape
and stretch out
plays longer than they should. Again, that's I think what he has to prove this year is you're going to start losing that athleticism and what you got away with in Seattle. So you need to prove with Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator. And as far as their weapons go, I mean, I know it's like, you know, it's kind of a weird makeup of skill players. I mean, George Pickens over there.
Antonio Brown's not walking through that door anytime soon.
No.
And honestly, that's
a fully coherent Antonio Brown.
But that's where the Steelers have been kind of lacking for the last few years. Like, there is no Jerome Bettis. There is no Antonio Brown or Plaxico Burress or, you know, just anybody that's like really an impact player for them on offense. Like, I think they've got weapons that nobody really knows exactly how good they can be or if they can be any good. So, I mean, there's not a lot of, there's no Le'Veon Bell in the backfield for you, you know? So until you can get one of those impact players at one of those skill positions, like, I don't know, like it could be a struggle, but if there's any coach, I think that can figure that out. Like, I have a lot of respect and a lot of reverence for Mike Tomlin and what he's able to do and the type of coach that he is and how good he's been able to be, even when his teams on paper don't seem like they're that good. right? And he's still able to come out with at least a 500 win season every year since he's been there, which is unheard of. Like, so I trust that you got smart guys like Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson. Like, you'll be able to figure out how to eke some wins out.
But I think Mike Tomlin is not expecting Russell Wilson to be able to be that scrambling quarterback. Like, not even just like half of what he used to be, but dude's 35 going on 36. I'm looking at the stats of one of the best, if not the best, scrambling quarterback in NFL history in Michael Vick. And yes, before he got suspended, that 1,000-yard season rushing, but even after he came back at age 30, 700 yards, then 600, then a couple of seasons to 300, and you really just start to get, you know, towards the age of 35, it is tough as a quarterback to be able to get out and scramble in this league, especially with the edge rushers now the way that they are. I don't see Russ being able to rush for more than a couple hundred yards this season. So for me,
I don't think
that part of his game is gone.
Yeah, I don't think he's rolling out and going on, you know, going for, you know, 20, 30 yards down the field. But in a red zone situation, you know, or 14, 7 yards to pay dirt, yeah, I can definitely see Russ making some moves and doing stuff from there. Now you just got to work smarter, not harder.
Ravens and Bengals both have over-under win totals at 10.5. 10.5. Browns are at 8.5, as are the Steelers. As far as winning this division goes, I'm rolling with the Ravens again. I think that both sides of the ball, that team is better than anybody else in this division. Yeah. I'll take Lamar Jackson. He's been able to do it longer and stay relatively healthier than Joe Burrow. The Browns, they might have a good season, but I can't trust that Deshaun Watson, even when healthy, will have a better season than either than Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson. Bengals, they are right up there as far as the division winner possibly goes. Actually, the Ravens and them have the two best odds to win the division, but I'm rolling with the Ravens this year.
Yeah, I think I got to go with the Ravens as well. You know, getting Derrick Henry was a huge, huge get for them. You know, so you have the best running back in the league, probably the second or third best quarterback, depending on who you ask, in the league on the same offense with an amazing head coach, like a great defense, you know, behind them. I don't think there's any reason that this Ravens team should lose any more than 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, 12 wins easy for the Baltimore Ravens this year.
And you guys are both going with Mike Tomlin, finishing above 500 again.
I have to.
He hasn't shown good.
He hasn't shown you anything else but that, so I got to.
Yeah, he worked with half a broken Swiss Army knife last year in Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. So, yeah, no, he's got at least better options there this year.
Well, I didn't know that the jackhammer, Jack Coletto, will be playing fullback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's go.
Now that I see that on the depth chart, that definitely makes me reconsider things here. But I'm going under, baby. I'm rolling with it. What are we?
Wow.
What are we? 15 seasons? How long has Tomlin been there for?
Oh, man.
We go on 15, 16, 17, I believe.
Many straight years.
Bill Cowher was, what, 2006-ish when he 2005, retired?
2005, 2006, something like that. I say it finally happens. If you get a fully healthy division, AFC North division, then I don't know if Arthur Smith, that offense, is going to be able to replicate what they did last year, especially when, again, that division was not as healthy as it has been in years past. All right, AFC North, check that box. My NFC East, Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, and Washington Commanders. What I like to say, one of the most competitive divisions, regardless if everyone is finishing 8-9 or teams are finishing 12-5.
Cannibalize each other there.
We go to the NFC East next here. Hour number 2, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!